And ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. Lord willing, in the second service, I'm going to speak on the subject of seeking the Lord. But there's a passage of Scripture I'd like to look at first this morning. And Lord willing, this passage will answer some questions that may arise in our minds in the second message. This message, obviously, we're looking for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, may the Lord be pleased to prepare our hearts to hear not only this, but what shall follow. In Matthew chapter 11, the Lord had disgraced some cities where some miracles, many miracles, had been performed by him, and the reason that they were disgraced, I use that word disgraced, because in verse 20 of Matthew 11, this is what the scripture says, verse 20, Matthew 11, then began he to upbraid disgrace. He shamed them. He told them, shame on you. He began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Because, look up the word of repent. Look up the word. It means to change one's mind for the better. To change your mind. Now, the Lord disgraced them for doing something that the Scripture clearly reveals man by nature cannot do. Repentance, the Scripture sets forth, is granted. That's what Acts 11:18 says. But do you know there is no excuse? There's no excuse. That was the first thing I learned, Fred. You guys were in the military. This is the first thing I learned when I got to boot camp. If somebody asks you something, they outrank you, why you did something, let me tell you what the answer is. No excuse. That's the answer. I don't have an excuse, sir. No. You may have one, but keep it to yourself. The Lord upbraided them. Because they did not change their mind concerning the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who he is, what he's done, why he came, where he is now. Man by nature has no excuse. He upbraided them. Because he had done many mighty works there, and because they did not repent, they did not believe him. Listen, to not believe, to not trust. Now, you know this, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ has nothing to do with believing in his existence. Demons believe in his existence. But I'm talking about to cast yourself upon his mercy. To entrust yourself to his well-being, his care. To by faith lean upon him. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me by your grace. That's what I mean when I say believe. not in his existence, but I'm talking about to trust him. To not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is the crime of all crimes. This is the pinnacle. This is it. Almighty God, if a man, a woman does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, casting themselves upon Christ for mercy, and you die in that state, I promise you, according to these scriptures, here's what's going to happen. God's going to put you in hell. And you will be there forever. No second chance. No plea bargain. He that believeth on him, that is, he that has faith and trust, commits Christ, his well-being, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because, why is he condemned? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then the Lord began to tell him, after he upbraided them, after he shamed them, woe unto thee, verse 21, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth, in ashes. Look at verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, you shall be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. For those that had seen the mighty works. Listen to this. For all that have ever heard the gospel preached, here or anywhere else, for all that have ever heard the gospel preached, if you heard it one time, and you believe not, here's what the scripture says. Verse 22 and verse 24 basically says the same thing. The scripture sets forth, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Verse 24, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. More tolerable. I know that it has to do with remembrance. Remember. I know that because that's what he told that rich man that died and lifted up his eyes out of hell. The Lord told him, he said, remember. You'll go through eternity remembering. You'll remember every time you ever heard the gospel. Every time you refuse. I'm not going. You know. And the Lord, after he had said those things, look what it says in verse 25. At that time, he had just told them. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Then the Lord answered. The word is, he began to speak concerning the truth that he had just revealed. And he thanked as they listened. I thank thee, glorifying and praising the Father for his sovereign will and wisdom and power to hide these things, these glorious truths of God's will and God's purpose and God's sovereignty, the gospel, to hide these things from the wise, those that think themselves so wise. They think themselves so smart. You've hidden these things concerning the glory of the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior. You've kept them secret. I thank you that you've kept these things secret from those who you've been pleased to leave to themselves in the darkness of unbelief, wise in their own foolishness and conceits and arrogancy. And haughtiness and darkness, thinking, Lord, please don't hide these things from me. That's what a believer says. Don't, Lord, don't leave me to myself. Those that are wise in themselves, they'll get mad at that. Who does God think he is? He don't think he's anybody. He knows who he is. I'm the Lord. God Almighty is God. And who are we? We're the nothings. We're the dust. He's the Lord of glory. We're earthy. The Lord said this. I thank you that you've hidden these things. But he also thanked him for revealing them. You've revealed them unto babes. Those that had been made to see something of their helplessness and ignorance and defenselessness against the power and dominion of sin. And what's the difference? What's the difference between those that are wise in their own arrogance and haughtiness and those who are babes? What's the difference? The grace of God. That's the only difference. Leave all of us to ourselves and we're all haughty and arrogant, high-minded, lifted up in pride. By the grace of God, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And the reason that it was this way, the Lord thanked him. I thank you. And what's the answer to that? Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then the Apostle Paul says in Romans 9, so then it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. But it's of God that showeth mercy. And concerning the right to reveal or withhold this precious knowledge, the glorious knowledge of God's eternal counsel and will and purpose and salvation, who'd got that power? Who has that power to withhold or to give? Or who has it? Look at verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Being God, nothing's given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. But being the submissive, humble servant of Jehovah, he who made himself of no reputation, the scripture sets forth that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what the scripture says. The Father has committed all things unto the Son. I thank thee, Father, you've hid. All things are given to the Son. In him is life. So I'm going to ask this one question. What can a sinner, what must a sinner do? Look at verse 28. Come unto me. Come unto me. Now I'm not telling you to walk down the aisle. I'm not telling you to come down to the altar and pray. I'm not telling you to turn over a new leaf. I'm not telling you to straighten up, fly right. Coming to Christ has absolutely nothing to do with a physical act. If there is a physical act that can be done, and you think, or I think, that I can do something that will cause me to come to Christ, that is works. Plain and simple. But the Lord exhorts sinners, come unto me. Coming unto Christ is an act of a new heart by faith. It is the actual believing in response to the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit that has been imparted. God must do something for a sinner before a sinner is willing in the day of God's power. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Well, does that mean coming to him too? Yeah. No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. He exhorts sinners, the sovereign of all things, come unto me. Coming to Christ is actually a response to a new nature. I'll give you a new heart. I'm going to take a heart of stone out of you. Sin's not going to have dominion on you anymore. I'm going to remove that heart of stone that rules and reigns. I'm going to give you a new heart. The presence of sin is still there, but it doesn't have dominion over a believer anymore. It's that new nature that responds. What does it do? What's the first thing that a new nature does? It denies self, meaning my ability. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't deny that I'm in existence. I know I'm in existence. But it denies any ability that I have. And it immediately, it forsakes all former confidence in self-righteous works. Man by nature thinks that he's converted, he's repented, because he exercised a free will. Our will is dead. It's dead. It doesn't do anything but rebel against God. That's all it does. Now, it trusts God. When he says, come unto me, if a man or woman has a desire to cast themselves upon the mercy of God, it's because God's already had mercy on him. He's already given him life. He's already saved him by his grace through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, he believes God and he's willing to come. Coming to Christ is a miracle. That's a miracle wrought in a sinner. And I tell you, those that have come to Christ are coming to Christ right now. He that cometh unto me. They cast themselves upon the mercy of God afresh right now. Right now. Lord, save me. Hadn't he saved you? Yes, Lord, save me. Hasn't he kept you? Yes, Lord, keep me. Hadn't he had mercy on you? Yes, Lord, have mercy. And who does the Lord exhort to come? Well, the scripture says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, all that have been quickened to life in Christ and made to see that they by nature are weighted down with guilt and failures in themselves. That's a believer. He sees himself as a failure. Well, how long will he see himself as a failure? Till God takes him out of this world. They've been made to see themselves by nature as slaves to sin and Satan. They've been given a desire to know something. Tell me something. Tell me again about peace and reconciliation with God. I know what I deserve. I know what I deserve. You don't have to tell me what I deserve. You don't have to tell me how lousy I know. You don't know the half of it. You can come up with all kinds of things. You know, well, Marvin, hey, look, I'll be your biggest fan. Tell you, I agree with you. But a believer is one weighted down, heavy laden, knowing something of that burden of sin that he bears himself, they know what they deserve. That thief on the cross. What did he tell the other thief after the Lord opened his eyes? And he changed his speech. Been railing on the Lord just like the other thief was there for a while. All of a sudden he said, wait a minute. Don't you fear God? We're getting exactly what we deserve. We killed those people. We stole. We're getting exactly what we deserve. Lord, would you remember me when you enter your kingdom? Lydia, all religious woman, Scripture said she worshiped God, the God that she knew. And she was out of town. She was doing business, seller of purples, out on business, and she went to prayer meeting one day. It was a riverside. There were women there that, you know, were want to meet together and pray. And Lydia was there, religious woman, you know. But God sent a preacher that day. And the Scripture says that Almighty God opened her heart. And she attended to the words that were being spoken. At one moment she was religious. The next moment she was a believer. Big difference. Big difference. What'd she do? She asked Paul. She said, listen, if you count me worthy, would you come over and stay at my house? And would you come visit and talk? The Lord was pleased to bless her home. This blessed state of laboring and being heavy laden is the result of the grace of God. It's not natural to the natural man. It's not natural to the carnal heart. How many unbelievers do you know that are just tore all to pieces over their sin? How many unbelievers have you ever met? It just burdens them. Because if somebody's fearful of being caught, I understand that part of it. Everybody's always repentant when they're caught, when God exposes them. You know, that's when you know, oh, I'm so sorry for what I've been. Well, yeah, you got caught, you know. But I'm talking about as that prodigal son. He said, I've sinned against you, and I've done it in sight of God. I've sinned against the Lord. That was David's repentance. My sin is ever before you. Sinned against God. If there's anybody here that God's given a heart that they're laboring, heavy laden under the burden of the presence of sin. Let me tell you how many who that is in here. Every believer. Every believer. What do you do? Come unto me. Come unto me. And then lastly, what does Christ promise to those who come to him by faith? Here's what he said. I will give you rest. Rest. Rest is given. It's not earned. It's not merited. Oh, the joy of being able to just rest. When you're tired, you work 6 12s. Any good, Mark, just to be able to rest for a few minutes? I just want to sit down just for a few minutes. This feels so good. I don't know if this recliner ever felt this good. I think I'm going to just close my eyes for just a few minutes and just rest. Oh, the blessed state of being able to rest before God. Rest. To be exempt and taught that you're exempt from the responsibility or the labor of establishing righteousness before God. Can you imagine? thinking that you can please God? That you can in word, thought, and deed please God and establish righteousness? You think that it could ever be said of any of us in ourselves, these are my beloved children, I am well pleased with you? Oh, to be able to rest from the knowledge or the thought of condemnation before God. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. I'm going to give you rest. To rest because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And to rest in the midst of afflictions and trials and troubles of this life. When trials come, tribulation comes, you see the animosity, the resentment, you know, in conscience, outside, just to be able to know Almighty God worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. All things work together for good to them that love God. Turn with me to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4, 9 to 11. Hebrews 4, 9 to 11. There remaineth therefore a rest. Actually, the margin says in my Bible, the keeping of a Sabbath. There's a rest in heart. A rest in a Sabbath in the heart to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. What did he say? Work. To not work. Work, strive to not work. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There's a present rest for God's people in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're free. Free from the bondage of works for salvation. We rest in the Lord's love and righteousness and acceptance in Christ. And there's a future rest. Revelation 14:13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Though a believer knows now by faith the surety of the blessing of dying in the Lord. In the day of God's judgment, a believer knows something of the blessing of dying in the Lord. They know something of it. They know something of it. But I'll tell you this, in the day of God's judgment, they're going to know perfectly the blessing. We know something now, and we're thankful somewhat now. But oh, the blessing of knowing that we died in Christ. In Christ, by God's choosing, association with Him in His death, by the Spirit's sanctifying power, made willing in the day of that power to come to Him by faith in the Lord. And the works of these saints, the Scripture says, their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. I read something Brother Henry wrote. He said they don't go before thinking that they're going to be prepared for heaven by their works. Their works don't go before. They don't take them with them as merits. You know, well, this is the reason I have the right to go in. But they follow. And what works are those? They are works that have been wrought by Christ alone in them. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in us both to will and do of His good pleasure. I can't help but think about that woman with the issue of blood. all these years. She just couldn't do anything. All of her doctors she went to, none the better. But she said in her heart, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. I believe that. I believe that. She believed on Christ by faith. Where'd she get that faith? Well, the scripture says it's given unto you to believe. All men have not faith. It's given. But you know, when she touched the hem of his garment, what did the Lord say? Thy faith hath made thee whole. He said, that work that you just did, where'd she get it? He gave it to her. He gave it to her. Their works follow them. What works are those? All that Christ worked in them. All that Christ has done that's worthy to follow them. Nothing else will do. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, let's